Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This is your advanced class, and join us today for our discussion as we continue talking about to eat or to offend. Glad you're back with us as we continue this subject of etiquette, of bizarre foods, what we should do, the challenge it makes for us. And we're so glad that you're with us. And this is Doris Broom, Pung Mung Wei. And also, in our panelists today, we have
Linda,
Lu Guolin,
Joanna, Wu Xiaojin.
See, we all have Chinese names. Doesn't mean that we can eat everything the Chinese people eat, but we've learned to enjoy a lot of it, haven't we? We have.
Yes, I've eaten a wide variety of things since I've moved here.
Right. In fact, you know, mostly Chinese people feel that theirs is the best food in the whole world, but I think everybody feels that way about their food because they're brought up eating it. The French think theirs is the best cuisine, don't they?
Yes, unless you're
British. I don't
British
people do. I don't know. You know, fish and chips, whatever. Mm. But anyway, and Americans, they eat a little bit of all kinds of cultural food because they have Italians and Germans and Chinese and Vietnamese and all these people there. And so we get all kinds of food in America, don't we?
Yes, we do. I remember when we moved to the north. I talked yesterday about moving from the south to the north. We started to eat this kind of fish that's actually salted with lye.
Oh, no.
And then you have to soak it. And
what kind
then
of fish is that?
It's lutefisk.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's,
Norwegians
oh,
and
that's
Swedish
Norwegian.
People
oh,
love it.
That's very Scandinavian.
Yeah. Very Scandinavian.
If you go to Norway and Sweden, you can get that for breakfast.
Well, it's like eating jelly.
Yeah, I know. I never did learn to like. Did you learn to like it?
No. I just learned to eat it.
Oh, okay.
In Texas, we have quite a bit of Mexican and Central and South American food. So that's where you get some pretty good Mexican. It all depends on where you go. In fact, there's a fusion cuisine called Tex-Mex that's sort of half Southern food, half Mexican. It's pretty good. I like some of it.
Well, the people down in Southern California, they have a lot of this kind of food that's more of the Mexican style, and they have more hot spices and things in it. And the people up north in the Seattle area are more the Scandinavian mm-hmm. types, and they don't put many spices on things. So they think that food is terrible. In San Francisco, they eat a lot of Italian food. In New York, a lot of Jewish food. Wherever you go, you have all these different types of food, don't you?
My husband defines Minnesotan food as being white.
white food.
Mm-hmm. White
flour.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that different cuisines have different levels of spices based on how to preserve it back before they had refrigerators and ice boxes and stuff. In warmer climates, spices help keep meat from going rancid or going bad. So in the northern climates, you don't have very spicy food because
didn't need it.
You could just keep it outside, I guess.
Sometimes I think people put spices on when the food is going bad and you don't notice it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch that, too. But sometimes we don't know whether we're going to offend people if we don't eat their food. That's what we're talking about on pages 10 and 11. Yesterday, on the first day of the month, we did page 10. And what conclusion did we make? Can we be sure of what we should do in all these situations when we're served things that are strange to us?
No. There are no hard and fast rules.
But we do have to be careful not to offend people, don't we?
That's right. A safe option is to try a little. If you can manage it, just trying a little bit of something that your host offers you is a good effort.
And what word did we use to describe these strange foods?
Bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
I think this is important for our audience because more and more people are traveling abroad to Europe and to other places around the world. And you certainly want to step out of what we're used to eating and try something that is regional.
Now, there are times when people can't eat something because of their health, the doctors told them. And there are religious things like certain religions can't eat pork or eat something. So I don't think we should try to get people to eat things that go against their beliefs. That's something else.
That's entirely different.
We have to
different.
Be sensitive
yes,
to that.
Definitely.
Right? But if they just say they don't like it or they're not used to it, then we try to get them to try it, don't we?
Right, because we ended with the word yesterday, you have to look past your bias, which means you have an unfair personal opinion of something that you've never even tried.
When you're biased, that means that you're not really looking at it fairly, actually. You're looking at it with a way that's kind of what offbeat.
Mm-hmm. Something that it's really your own opinion.
And everybody has some biases, but then you have to look beyond that. So that's what we're going to talk about today on page 11. And we're going to have to search for solutions because it is kind of a dilemma. And what did we say a dilemma is?
Well, one way to find it was you have a couple of options, but neither of them are very good. Neither is what you want.
So you don't know what to do. Neither one of them seems like the right one. Okay, so let's just take the first little paragraph today.
Searching for solutions. Michael Soon Lee, author of Cross-Cultural Selling for Dummies, says that an outright refusal to eat food served would be very insulting. A white lie, he says, is an acceptable alternative. If you don't want to be adventurous, you can simply fib and say you're allergic to whatever is being served, says Lee. Or simply say, my doctor has me on a strict diet, so I have to watch what I eat.
This is an interesting book, Cross-Cultural Selling for Dummies. I think that's because there's a lot of books that are called for dummies. Like there's computers for dummies, cooking for dummies. In other words, people who don't know very much about the subject, well, they're not really dummies. Dummies just you eat and bun bun da. I don't think we're really that dummy, but you really don't know what to do. So this would be an interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say?
Well, he says an outright refusal. And this just means, no, I'm not going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we think of when we think of outright refusal.
Right. So what does he suggest then?
Well, he says this is outright refusal to eat foods would be very insulting. I think we've talked a lot about that.
So it just means, no, I don't want what you're offering. Yeah. I'm not going to try any part of your culture. I'm not going to, you know.
It's rejection, and people don't like rejection.
That's right. Not, especially when you're in a business deal, that's not a good way to start your business meal.
No, and if you're with people in another culture, you're there for some reason, and it seems like you're rejecting their whole culture and their things about them, and it becomes very personal with them. But he suggests maybe that you should say a little white lie. This word, a white lie, is an interesting term.
It's the idea that the lie is really small, so it won't hurt anyone. A little fib, just twist the truth just a tiny bit and say something that isn't quite true to get yourself out of a dilemma.
It's quite easy to get involved in white lies, but I don't recommend it for people because sometimes the white lie becomes a black lie. It gets more and more into it, right?
Right. I mean, he suggests saying you're allergic to whatever's being served, but you can't be allergic to everything. And I think morally or ethically, I can't say that I really agree with this either. I think we can say the truth in a way that is acceptable.
Well, would you say your doctor has you on a strict diet? I think the best thing to do is when you're going to go to another country is tell your doctor to give you a note that says you're on a strict diet. Then you don't have to lie. How about that?
Well, you can also just say, I'm on a strict diet, so I can't eat it, if you are.
Yeah, if you are, right. Okay. But it is hard to know what to say. You don't want to offend people. And sometimes you think saying that, then they'll understand. And you want them to understand.
What I think is worst case scenario, you try something that's absolutely horrible. And then you have a cool story to tell.
That's true.
I have done that before.
Yeah, that's true. You have a good story.
I think we should take
a look. You live to tell it, right?
True.
Yes. And also it says, at the end of this, it says, so I have to watch what I eat. This is a very common phrase, even if you aren't trying to get out of eating something. I have to watch what I eat means be careful. So a lot of people who are on diets, just even trying to lose weight, watch what they eat. That's a very good phrase.
But most of those kind of things, like the lizards and the cockroaches, aren't going to make you fat, so you don't need to worry about it. Not Ricky.
You're watching your cholesterol or something.
Right.
This is good for your
Okay, well, anyway, there are rewards. Like you were just saying, you could say, well, look, I ate such and such a thing. Let's read the next part, the next section.
The rewards of adventure. Side suggests business travelers try unappealing food abroad if they can. I've tried rattlesnake meat, fried crickets, and barbecued scorpions and have lived to tell it, she says. They may not be my favorite food items, yet they were great experiences I enjoyed. Irving says that in most business situations abroad, the locals are understanding if an American refuses to eat something. If you have a good attitude, however, and are a little adventuresome with your choices, it is much easier to break the ice and relate to your hosts, he says. He remembers several tasty, bizarre meals. One would never eat fish maw soup if it was known that it is fish intestines, but it is absolutely great, Irving recalls. Another favorite is fried morning glory, the same vine that grows around your mother's mailbox.
So here we're looking at the rewards of adventure. I think people really, even if you're a business traveler, or even if you just are traveling for fun, you really need to have a sense of adventure and try unappealing food abroad if you can. Unappealing means it doesn't smell, taste, or look good to you.
Right.
But sometimes
what are some things that don't look good to you if you're traveling? Like I remember when I was up in Gansu and they were serving this goat's head soup, and the goat's heads floating in the soup just didn't look good to me. And, you know, but still you try a little of the soup. I try not to eat the head, but just that goat's head floating in the soup didn't make it seem appealing to me.
I think any animal with its face still on it is kind of unappealing.
That's true.
To
even
me
fish
to
heads,
eat.
Right? That's why Americans don't have the fish heads and the chicken heads when they put it on the table.
We don't like to see the face. We don't like to look our meat in the eye.
I think that's true.
Good point.
I think after you live somewhere for a while, you kind of get used to things. I remember when my in-laws came to visit and we had a whole fish, you know, with the head still on. They could hardly eat it.
Or you go to Hawaii, so we have a luau on the pig's heads there and
that
the
doesn't
Philippines
bother me.
And all those kind of things. We don't like the heads, I guess, do we?
No.
Oh, we don't have to eat it.
That's true. But
it just does something.
I don't like slimy food.
The head is something that adds a personal...
Then right.
How do I say it? It makes the animal look like it was once alive and something we might care for and it makes me less...
Willing to eat it, yeah. That's true. So I think those things do make a difference to a lot. So they make it so they're not appealing. But a lot of people, like, for instance, if a rattlesnake meat, they will eat eel and things like that. So what's the matter with rattlesnake? You know, it's the same type of thing. But
I would definitely try rattlesnake. I haven't before, but I'm game.
Yeah. What about fried crickets and barbecued scorpions? Did that sound good to you? Insects are bad.
It depends on my mood. I've had insects before, wasn't a fan, but you can always go home and say, I've had fried cricket before.
Yeah, so. I've had deep-fried bumblebees, and they were quite good,
Would
actually.
You ever order them again in a restaurant?
If they were served to me, I would eat them, but there's just something about scorpions or crickets. Even when I watch them on Travel and Living channels, I usually change the channel.
Right. But as you say, a lot of this has to do with where you're traveling and if you're served these things. And it says that most business situations, the locals are understanding. If American says, well, I'd rather not eat that. In fact, they think, well, Americans, they won't eat anything. So you sort of say, oh, yes, I'll eat it. So sometimes you eat things just to show them that you're willing to. But you don't really like them, right?
I think from a host perspective, if you're hosting someone, a guest from another country, and you know their cuisine is completely different from yours, maybe you want to start easy with them. Don't hit them with the weirdest thing your culture has to offer. And don't make it a joke. Like, maybe it's funny for you to watch the foreigner's face eating something weird, but it's not that fun for the foreigner. So maybe a good effort on both sides will help the
Well, people do travel more now than they used to. You know, 20 or 30 years ago, people were not traveling as much. So they did not realize it, whether you were in India or China or any other country. They did not realize that people didn't want to eat that. They were surprised. Oh, you don't like that? That's very good. Oh, the chicken feet are the best part, or the chicken head or the fish head. They didn't realize it. Now that they travel more, they realize it. So they will not necessarily put it on your plate, whereas they used to do that in the past. So I think people are becoming a little bit more culturally sensitive all over the world, aren't they?
I think so, too. And I agree with Joe that you don't want to serve the strangest thing that your culture has. The problem there is that you might not think it's strange.
That's the thing. You don't know it's strange.
You know, usually we serve the best of our culture, and so we want to serve, you know, that mm-hmm. because it's exotic, you know, yeah. and probably expensive.
I'm trying to think of an American food that we really prize, but maybe someone from Asia wouldn't.
They used to not like cheese, but now they do. But before, people wouldn't eat anything with cheese. Now
that's
they do.
That's right. But I would say, like, if you go, I mean, even when we went to Europe, even going to France, you know, we don't eat escargot or snails where I'm from.
No.
Or they're very, very expensive if you do, but they're, you know, we ate them there. I don't think I'd cross the street to eat them. But.
No.
A few weeks ago, I met some ladies from here, and they were commenting on how salty German bread is and how it's too salty and they don't like it because the bread here is quite sweet. And I was just thinking, German bread is like the king of all the breads mm-hmm. ever. Americans love German bread. It's just
the most delicious
thing ever. And we just – I love European. Like French and German bread is so good to me. And
so
I thought it was funny that they wouldn't like it.
But at least it doesn't look bad. You know, like chicken heads and things. I mean, you know,
bread always
different.
Looks good.
Yeah, bread doesn't have that personal look to it.
Well, I think, you know what you mentioned was meat, was a form of meat.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we find that is so bizarre. All of these items that we're talking about here have something to do with something that was living. And now we're eating it.
That's true. I think that's the part that makes it a little bit hard. If you're not used to eating crabs and things like that, and then you see people breaking off the legs and eating a crab, it seems really strange to you. But a lot of Americans are not used to that, too. But if you live on the coast, you're used to that. So a lot of it depends on what you're used to.
Or maybe the spices. Maybe something that we eat in America, we're used to having it really spicy because we're from the South. But a visitor might be like, you know, where's the water?
Right. It all depends on where you're from. If you're from Norway or Sweden, you might. But a lot of people like spicy food in Asia, though.
Oh, yeah.
But just remember, you know, that sometimes people don't know how to say no, and they want to break the ice when you relate to your folks. So you have a good attitude, and you say, oh, well, I'll try this. And if you don't like it, you can just leave a little on your plate sometimes, too, right? It's better to try things.
Yes, I agree. It doesn't mean you have to eat a huge plate of it.
No, right. But it says this one fellow was talking about, and he says he remembers, you know, eating what they call fish maw soup. And they wouldn't eat fish intestine soup, but they didn't say intestine. They called it fish maw. Well, what is maw? Well, you don't know. So that's the same idea. Should you find out first or should you eat it first?
I think maybe you should eat it first.
Yeah,
maybe we should, but I kind of like to know what it is, though. But yeah, but this other idea here, this Irving recalls, another favorite is fried morning glory, the same vine that grows around your mother's mailbox. Well, that doesn't seem the same. It's not as personal as meat.
That's right. I agree. I think meat brings out something in us. Mm-hmm. You know, like
I think so, too.
How do we regard the animal that it was before?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's well-cooked, well-done, I think mm-hmm. that – and it's sanitary. I think that has a lot to do with it. Well, let's read about the other side of the coin in the second column.
Other side of the coin. Not every strange food was a pleasant experience. I can do without another course of fried rat in Jinggong, China, or the dog soup in Korea, Irving says. Though Irving apparently has a very wide palate, he couldn't finish an unsettling business meal in Hanoi. We tried the special lobster sashimi, picking the translucent flesh from the tail when we noticed the lobster move across the table, he says. When my business associate and I discovered that the lobster was still alive, we couldn't eat anymore. But our Japanese hosts gobbled up the delicacy.
Well, some people like this Irving, he says he could do without another course of fried rat, in other words, or dog soup. In other words, he didn't like it, but he did try it. But it says he had a very wide palate. I think he does eat all that kind of stuff.
Right. A wide palate here just means that he has a very broad sense of taste, which means that he can like a wide variety of different kinds of food.
That reminds me of our editor, Ruth. She ate fried rat and things like that, you know. And I told you about the little pig dog tail. She ate those. I couldn't eat those. She has a very wide palate. But I don't know how she'd feel about the lobster sashimi. I think that he would find it a little difficult Ruth would even find it difficult if the lobster were still alive. Do you think so? I think she would.
I would find it very difficult.
It seems cruel to eat an animal while it's still alive. I kind of believe in killing the animal humanely.
That's right.
You know, don't torture the thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that has a lot to do with it, too. But if you're not used to it, like in Japan, those kind of things don't bother them as much. And so they can gobble it up, which means just to eat it very quickly and say, that was really good. So it's kind of, we get biased against some of these things, I'm sure. But I think anything that you need to kill, you should kill it quickly, mercifully, and then prepare it well. It's sanitary and be sure it's well cooked, don't you think so?
Yeah, I think that's the safest way to eat any part of the animal, I think.
Right. But, you know, this tasting fish eyes, this reminds me of some of my friends when I first came to Asia. They'd say, you have to try this. So I always said, okay, I'll try it. The next time I could say, I don't like it very well. One thing I tried I didn't really like was fish eyes because they just kind of taste like eating cod liver oil or something like that. As a kid, we had to eat that to keep us well. It's kind of fishy and membrane. It didn't seem to have much to it. And so I don't really like to eat fish eyes, but I have tried fish eyes. Have you ever eaten fish eyes?
I haven't, and I feel like in all the situations where we've had a whole fish on the table and people ate the eyes, maybe it was just the people I was with, but no one really valued that. They left it alone, and if one of my friends tried it, it was just kind of on a dare, not really something that was like socially significant at the table or something. I wasn't going to offend anyone by not eating the eyes.
What does it say here about tasting fish eyes? Do you want to read that one?
Well, it says that this was the concern of Tim Pigsley of Florida, who said that he ate fish eyeballs like one eats a raw oyster at a business meal with Asian clients last year. And he says he wasn't abroad, but he was the only Caucasian in a San Diego restaurant. So it sounds like this
the
is
only
a very
white person, right?
Authentic Asian restaurant.
What else did he say?
Well, he said that someone told him it was a symbol of honor to be served the eyeball from the whole fish. And he thought he would insult someone not to eat it.
Okay.
So he ended up trying it, and he said it wasn't that bad. It was just the thought of eating the eyeball that was the worst thing.
But it was salty and fishy, and it has very strong, like, fish oil taste. That's what I felt. Have you ever had fish eyes?
I don't think so.
Well, you know, if you go out with somebody at noon, maybe I'll have them serve you some so you can try it.
It's all right.
Never mind.
I've lived this long
without trying them. But some people like them, but you know, another thing I think about a lot of my Chinese friends, they always say, this is good for you and that's good for you. And, you know, this is good for something or other. And don't you think, haven't you heard that before?
Every meal I go out with my friends, I hear it.
So,
which is good to know that we're eating things that are healthy.
Right, they might be a little bit hard to take, you know. But yeah. So it was really, you know, what they call their gag reflex. Gag means it just gags you up. You feel gagged up when you read about things like this, don't you? What does that mean?
Gag means you kind of choke up in your throat and you want to throw up.
I can't stand it, right?
There are some foods that does cause that in me immediately. Oatmeal comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot eat oatmeal.
Can you imagine that? No, that's a very simple
Oh, my
food.
Goodness.
Can you imagine the gagging over oatmeal?
No, it smells so good to
me.
No,
I never cooked it for my kids. I could only make it by pouring instant instant oatmeal and pouring hot water at arm's length and stirring it for them.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Could not clean the
pan.
Let
me ask you, if it's between oatmeal and fish eyes, which would be?
Fish eyes, for
sure.
Oh,
my goodness.
I can see it being a texture thing. Lots of people don't like food just because
it's
the taste.
She has a bias about oatmeal.
But I like oatmeal cookies. I had to eat it as a child. I had to.
You had to eat oatmeal?
But I ate oatmeal as a child, and I still like it.
It's all about the flavor. It's so versatile.
No.
Do you want it salty? Do you want it sweet with honey, with
syrup? Brown sugar.
Fruit. Oh, wow.
But anyway, to eat or not
eat.
You
won't
be offended. If you're out with her, don't be offended if she doesn't eat the oatmeal, okay?
With that kind of reaction, I guess I won't even
offer it. I guess she can gag on it. That's right. But it's an interesting article, and you do have to face this. And remember, if you do refuse food, be polite about it, or if you can, eat a little bit of it and try it, right?
Right.
So please discuss this with your friends and write in to see your opinions on it, and we're glad that you could be with us today. Thanks for being with us. Have you enjoyed talking about food?
I don't know. We ended on gag reflex.
That's a bad place to end. What about you?
I always enjoy talking about bizarre foods. As much as I've traveled, it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
And be sure to try local food when you travel. Chinese food is good, but you don't want to just always eat it every country of the world. Try the local food a little bit and choose the things that look good to you and eat a little bit of local food wherever you go.
I think that's good advice because a lot of us will be traveling now. It's summertime, summer vacation, so try something new.
Right. And be sure and be back with us for the new lesson tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.